Hello, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of this radio program and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on another adventure together, an adventure that I like to call Dave Wilson's part, a version of Radio Liberty. Dr. Monteith is away for another day. He'll be back next week as the Lord tarries, sitting right here, and he's given me the privilege of talking to you, talking to some wonderful guests, and that I will do. We've had fun these last 3 days, and today is no exception. I have to remind you, of course, that the views expressed on this live radio program are the views of my guest. They're my views. They're not the views of the radio station that you might be listening to. So don't get confused with that. And also, we invite your calls when you have something to say. 464-8295 here in the Central California coast in the 831 area code, or elsewhere all the way around the world, I suppose, at 888-245-4237. That's 888-24-LIBERTY, and certainly that's what we are today, my guest and I, sitting here, 24 Liberty, because some things that we've been taking for granted recently as a few years ago, are being taken away from us. Yesterday I opened up the program with a reading, if you will, and I'm going to read the exact same thing that I read yesterday because it's germane to what we're going to be talking about again today from the Declaration of Independence. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Well, that's interesting. And then the Constitution goes ahead and says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Our author writes, "Since the 1970s, America has increasingly followed a system of governance that usurps power from the people and local government and transfers it to the state and federal government. This form of governance destroys the very principle that has made America the greatest nation in the history of the world, a principle based on certain God-given unalienable rights. Among these are life and the pursuit, liberty and the pursuit of happiness, as penned by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence." We just read that. My guest today, Michael Kaufman. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Very good, David. Glad to be back with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your taking some time out there. I suppose that you are not yet snowed in there, are you?
Well, actually, we've had almost 4 feet of snow already, but most of it's gone. And we had a real warm last 2 weeks of December, and it melted.
All right. I don't know whether that's what you like or whether you like it to just pile up and stay for a while, but anyway.
Well, I'm looking at the thermometer right now, and it's 6 below 0.
All right. Well, we'll try to heat things up by our conversation this afternoon. You've been a guest and a friend of Radio Liberty for many years now, and we're always talking about the things that you've seen happening subtly that perhaps are not in the paper, not on the radio, certainly not on TV, as to how liberty in this country is being taken away snip by snip, piece by piece, word by word from the general populace, and sometimes nobody seems to be noticing. In keeping with the fact that we're still in the first week of the year, what did you see, Mike, about last year as a furtherance of this, I hate to use the word, progressive encroachment on our liberties?
Well, you know, I don't think there's any question in anyone's mind. The greatest thing that happened last year that is going to set the tone for years, perhaps decades to come, is the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a turning point, I think, in how the world is going to be governed, what it's going to look like, and so forth, over the next several years, maybe decade or more, that we cannot afford to ignore it. And it's just one of those things where we have the military might now that no government can stand up against it. I mean, absolutely none. And as a result, we are becoming the world's cop. And, you know, the Bible is very clear about that. There will be a time when we have a world government. And that is the one thing we have been watching develop over the last 10 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the military ability to basically put down any nation that does not agree to it. And we have a festering pot of hatred broiling there in the Mideast that is literally going to dictate our actions over the next 5 to 10 years. And I just produced a new video on that called From Iraq to Ezekiel that is literally coming true before our eyes.
Where can people get a copy of that video if they're interested?
Well, you can call us by order by calling us at 1-800-799-9878. That's 1-800-799-9878. Or you can go to our website, discerningtoday.org. discerningtoday.org.
Okay.
And it's right there on the front page.
Okay, so that we'll be repeating that a lot. Now, how did you feel, said the psychologist, when you saw these things that you had talked about coming to be true?
Well, it's like when we stopped the biodiversity treaty 10 years ago. It's one of those things where if you know the minds of these people, you can pretty well anticipate what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, it's gratifying to see that it's happening. But unfortunately, in this particular case, as it was with the biodiversity treaty, the fact is that what they're trying to do is so horrifying that it really it's more of a downer than an upper. There are times when I would like to be wrong.
Right. I understand what you're saying. You said that the United States is becoming or is already the strongest nation on Earth, which I agree. The police actions that we seem to be taking to rid the world of oppression requires that the people understand about who we send to office, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And this is one of the key things coming up with this election year, is that we need to understand is our people that are running for office, are they going to promote this world government, or are they going to maintain the sovereignty of America and of its people? That is, I think, the number one question that we need to ask ourselves, because we are at a major turning point right now, and unless we stop this behemoth from crushing us, within a few years, we're going to be involved in a world government in which we have no local power whatsoever to control our lives. It's all going to be decided by the international community, most likely through the United Nations.
Do you really think that the United Nations is going to survive not being asked to come into Iraq and administrate that entire thing?
You know, that's a very good question. It's one of the reasons why I didn't say it's guaranteed it's going to be the United Nations, because the United Nations has really not lived up to its expectation for the globalists. And right now, it's at the centerpiece of a major feud, as you've seen, between two major factions in the world, and that's between what Stan calls the Anglo-American factor with Great Britain and the United States, the two central banks, and the central banks of the rest of Europe, the socialist Europeans, as we call them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a major power play. It's been ongoing now for 4 or 5 years, and it's one of the reasons we do not have a world government right now, is because you have greedy people that want to be at the apex of power, and they're squabbling right now as to who's going to be king of the mountain.
And the UN has almost pulled that off with their idea of the international court and almost having a standing army, but not really able to tax to the rate that they'd like to. Is that correct, Marla?
That's right. And, of course, we have George Bush to be able to thank for that. That's one of the things that he did for us a year and a half ago, in almost 2 years ago now, in March in Monterrey, Mexico, when they had the World Summit, I can't remember the exact name, on finance control.
Mm-hmm.
And Bush said, no, we're not going to establish a global tax system. We're going to, he increased our giving by $5 billion in foreign aid to these different countries instead. And that really took a lot of power out of the hands of what the United Nations was hoping to do by losing the ability to have a global tax.
There are a lot of things that George Bush has done which seemingly on the surface have corroborated this idea or this notion that a lot of people have, particularly Christians, that he's there as a Christian man helping us with Christian ideals, and that's his bottom line. Now, you know, I don't want to be a Bush basher necessarily, but there are an awful lot of things that, from my perspective, could have been done by him that have not been done, have only continued Clinton policies. Do you see some of those?
Oh, absolutely. Many of the land use policies that Clinton started, that is denying people property rights and so forth in the United States, he is basically allowing to continue unabated. Certainly Gale Norton of the Department of Interior has stemmed some of that, but there's a lot of things that she and the Department of Agriculture and so forth can do to roll back some of the gains on the sovereignty issues of individuals and their property rights that they have not done, that I wish they would have. And the other thing that concerns me on a more global scale is that, you know, I have to sing praise to Bush for what he did in South Africa a year and a half ago with the World Summit on Sustainable Development. I was there. I saw it. He basically stopped the implementation of that sustainable development agenda that Clinton started in the United States, or at least he slowed it down. And they basically denied the ability for the globalists to instill the Earth Charter, which is the really a new world religion based in pantheism, from being accepted by the United Nations there in Johannesburg. So he has done some good things, but at the same time, there are other things that really concern me. The free trade zones of Americas, for instance, is nothing more than the United Nations five-year plan now to regionalize the world or cut it up into about 7 to 10 economic regions in order to make the financial exchanges and so forth more dynamic around the world.
Kind of like NAFTA on steroids, huh?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's a fearsome thing. Now, do you think it's just political expediency, or is there some underlying behind-the-scenes stuff going on that began, say, in the World War One and continues on today? Now, there's a loaded question.
Absolutely. There's no question that it probably is even earlier than World War One. This agenda has been going on now. I'm writing a new book that I trace it back at least 150 years as to how the global elite and the power structure has evolved over time, and how they are implementing the current agenda to basically strip us of our individual ability for self-controlling over our own destiny. So it's a long-term project that they have, a generational project.
One of the things that the Fabian socialists were known for, and I believe that they had a lot to do with this at the turn of the last century, was their idea of patience being an attribute. And, you know, here in these United States, we tend not to be very patient about stuff. We like to have our remote, and we like to have it now, and we like to have DSL and all these other things. But they showed a lot of insight, I believe, when they were patient enough to not see the actual fruition of the things that they had put together.
That's true, and it's been the hallmark of their efforts all the way through time, and they've realized, of course, that it'll be their children or their grandchildren that see the benefits of what they're doing today. There's the other side of this, too, and I am certainly true with some of the global elite. I'm not sure it's true with all of them, but the concept of reincarnation is very strong in these people, and there's no reason to think that they won't come back. They don't believe that they wouldn't come back and be able to participate in this, what they're creating today, sometime in the next two or three generations.
Well, that's an interesting thought I had never thought about. And as we come back, we're going to be talking about more of the spiritual dimension with Michael Kaufman, our guest this afternoon on a Friday's edition of Radio Liberty. My name's Dave Wilson, sitting in here once again for Dr. Stan. Keep him in your prayers. He's moving around, and we'll be back here on Monday, as the Lord tarries. DiscerningToday.org is Michael Kaufman's website, where you can order Iraq to Ezekiel, or if you'd prefer, call 800-799-9878. That's Iraq to Ezekiel. We'll be mentioning it more. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Radio Liberty as we come back from this break. But before we go, in the next 20 seconds or so, I'd like to reiterate my desire for you people to please continue your prayers. We can feel them here at Radio Liberty with the empowerment and provision. It means so much to know that listeners all around the globe are praying for Dr. Stan, myself, and everybody who works up here. As we come back from this break, we'll be talking more with Dr. Michael Kaufman. Don't you dare go away.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inward to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Talking with Dr. Michael Kaufman this afternoon on Radio Liberty, and as we began our discussion, we've woven in spiritual aspects of this whole thing, and that's one of the things I appreciate about Dr. Kaufman and his website, discerningtoday.org, is he admits that there is a definite spiritual dimension to all that's going on, and we need to understand that. One of the best ways that you can avail yourself of some of that understanding is by calling 1-800-544-8927 and asking for a copy of a book by Dr. Stanley Monteith entitled The Brotherhood of Darkness. This is a fascinating recapitulation of a basic course in what's really going on in the world today. The Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stanley Monteith. It's only 139 pages. You can read it in one or two settings at the most. It's not an expensive book. It's less than $13. Why don't you call right now, 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a copy of The Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stanley Monteith. You'll be glad that you did. Once you've read it, and read it again, and perhaps passed it around to family members and friends, you'll be able to begin to see what's truly going on in the world today, as Dr. Kaufman and Dr. Monteith have so well commented upon. Michael, as we left for the break, we were talking a little bit about what you saw as being the most important thing going on in the world in the year 2003, and you also said, frankly, that the situation in Iraq is going to be the most important thing in 2004. Is there any dimension to this in your perception that would cause us maybe to have a sort of a smokescreen over more local issues? You know what I'm trying to say here? Is the media...
Because our attention is drawn away. Yeah,
right, yeah.
That's what always happens, of course, is that we have one of these issues in which the press is focused on. In the meantime, things happen at home that very few people are aware of, and we can't get it known or understood by the larger majority of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been, 9/11, for instance, the Patriots Act, and all that followed it and so forth, is a classic example of what happens when you have one of these dramatic events that scare people and allow them or cause them to accept certain things that they would never have accepted before. This whole Hegelian dialectic process of creating a nightmare out there with such outlandish things and then moving us in that direction by passing some sort of compromise solution that keeps moving more and more in the direction that we lose our individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the government continues to gain power over our individual lives. I would not hesitate for a moment to say, and I don't know what it is, I'm not going to prophesy and say that this, that, or the other thing is going to happen domestically in this next year, but we can continue to see a gradual erosion of our personal rights, our religious rights. You're seeing it happen on a daily basis. Christianity is becoming a scapegoat, something that's the only thing that's politically correct to ridicule. We're going to see the continued restriction of more and more Christian activities in the name of separation of church and state. And we're eventually going to get to the point where I believe probably in the next 4 to 5 years we'll have to have the church go underground if it wants to maintain a true gospel of Christ message to the people that are involved in it, because it's getting to be so politically correct that we're going to be much like the USSR. You're allowed to exist, but only if you hold to the state dogma.
In many cases, as they applied for a 501c3 to give the parishioners that beloved tax deduction, the churches have sold their soul to the federal government.
Yes, they have. And, you know, it's, and I'm not real expert on this, but I understand that they don't have to have a 501c3 to be tax exempt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process by which the churches have been hoodwinked into doing this, and now the government has the right to basically tell them what they can and cannot do. And, of course, the first thing that that's happening with is the whole issue of homosexuality.
Right. That is an astounding situation on the part of the organized church. The IRS, the federal government, has got them so hoodwinked that there was a great debate in a church I once served whether or not we could even have an American flag in the auditorium. Because of the fact that, one, it might offend somebody, and secondly, you know, we don't want to mix up all the stuff that's going on here. And you know, that just left a terrible taste in my mouth.
Yes, it does.
It's a scary thing. And the court system seems to me to be the entity that is implementing these so-called laws about the mixing, if you will, of church and state. They're beginning to just make the laws for themselves, aren't they?
Absolutely. And of course, that was at the heart of the 2000 presidential election. It's one of the reasons Al Gore fought so bitterly hard to win that election, because it's very likely by the time the next 4 years rolls around that there will be at least two, possibly three, replacements on the Supreme Court, and whoever is in control of the Supreme Court is going to basically control the morality of this nation mm-hmm. for the next 20 years. And it's really, it was the number one reason, if you read some of their internal literature, for them wanting the presidency so bad in 2000 that they were willing to do anything necessary for Gore to win.
And yet, we see the Democrats, not in the majority, are able somehow to stop any conservatives being placed on benches around the country.
Yes, they are, and that's another tragedy all in itself when you have such an extremist group. You know, I look at the Republican Party today being probably almost the left of the Democratic Party of 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic Party, at least the leadership and so forth, is so far to the left that they would have been out in the troposphere 40 years ago, and yet we don't see that happening because it's like a gradually boiling frog.
Right.
They don't sense that it's happening until it's too late, and it's getting close to being too late.
This incremental change that is not reported and not noted, plus the idea of these executive orders that I think are very, very important,
yes.
that are absolutely against the Constitution. It's just flat out unconstitutional what's happening in the name of expeditious legislature, as far as I'm concerned. Well, anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour, and it's my turn to say 800-544-8927, and that's the toll-free number that you can call, ladies and gentlemen, to pledge your support to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And as you call there, you can make that pledge of $20 or more every month to become a member of that family. And for your hard-earned money and prayers, we'll send you something, 4 tapes of the month, the best tapes of the month of all the programming that Dr. Stan does. And you'll enjoy reproducing those if you care to give them to your friends, as long as you don't sell them. And one of the important things also that you'll receive as a friend of Radio Liberty or a member of the Radio Liberty family is Dr. Stan's monthly newsletter. Now, this is a highly documented newsletter that tells you all about what's really going on in the world today from a myriad of sources, both in the, I hate to say, practical dimension and spiritual dimension. You know what I mean, the worldly thing and the spiritual thing, and how they're mixing up and how they're not getting along. And anyway, with his great insight, you'll be edified as you read his letter. So call 800-544-8927, won't you? And tell the person who answers the phone there that you'd like to pledge support and become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. $20, and I'd like to emphasize, or more, will get you in and begin to get you all of these wonderful things that you can use to help educate yourself, to educate your family members and friends. It's so important. Along with your prayers, support us in the underwriting of putting these programs on the air. We'll be back with Dr. Michael Kaufman after this break. Don't go away.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, the first half hour goes by real fast. It's 31 minutes past the hour here on the left coast, and I suspect it's the same minutes-wise anyway, wherever you may be listening to a Friday's edition of Radio Liberty. My privilege to sit in here for Dr. Stan, who will be back on Monday as the Lord tarries. And today we're talking with Dr. Michael Kaufman, whose website, Discerning Today, that's discerningtoday.org, is the place that you should go to read some of the insightful articles that he's got there about what's really going on in the world today. You can call his toll-free number to order the video, Iraq to Ezekiel, by calling 1-800-799-9878. And if you have a comment or a question that you'd like to ask Dr. Kaufman on what we've been talking about, we're moving into a little bit different subject right now, but give us a call, 464-8295, or anywhere you may be listening to the sound of this radio program at 888-245-4237. That's 24-LIBERTY, 888-24-LIBERTY. Michael, I'd like to move just a little bit now to something that your expertise shines, and that is property rights here in the United States. A lot of people don't understand that property rights are the basis of our freedom and the basis of the marvelous economic system that we've observed for the last 220 some odd years. And as a result, let's be a little basic and talk about the two schools of thought that are at war here. You know, the I don't want to get too much into the Rousseau Locke thing, but nevertheless, it's representative of two people's mindsets. Would you explain that just a little bit for our listeners?
Well, John Locke, let me read a quote out of his Second Treatise of Government, back written in 1690, and you're going to be surprised because it's almost word for word for another document that you even quoted at the beginning of the hour. And he says, the purpose of government is to join together to unite for the mutual preservation of their lives, liberty, and estate, which I call by the general name property. The great and chief end, therefore, of men united into commonwealths or governments and putting themselves under government is the preservation of their property. It was Thomas Jefferson, of course, that took that almost verbatim and made it the introduction to the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one theory where we have to have private property rights in order to develop the type of wealth creation ability, the type of free markets and so forth that are necessary to build wealth and security. The other one is Jean-Jacques Rousseau model, which basically is government controlled, where everything is controlled by the government, including private property. They may have private property, but the limits of private property are defined by the state and usually are controlled as the state desires to control them. And what we have basically seen over the last 50 years especially, but over the last 100 years, is a major effort to gradually, through different things, different kinds of programs at both the national and international level, to gradually shift our model of governance from the John Locke model of private property rights to the Jean-Jacques Rousseau model of basic rights of the state over the people.
What do you think started that? What was it? Somebody who needed protection from an evil landholder or something like that?
Well, you know, when Jean-Jacques Rousseau penned those words back in the mid-1600s, 1700s, I should say, you have to recognize that France still had the feudal system of government. They were still driven by a king who had absolute control over all but the entitled elite, and almost all the people at that time were serfs. And so what he saw was that the landowners, the big powerful elites, were the ones that were causing the misery at the time, and that's what he was writing about. He wasn't totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that we have to have private property rights available to all people where their benefits really start to come into play. When it's controlled by just a few people, like it even is in the Soviet Union before its demise in 1991, what you have then is a very repressive type of government, and that's what he was seeing with the feudal system of government back in the mid-1700s. So he wasn't totally wrong. He was just only seeing the wrong use of private property, not the fact that private property is bad in itself.
And we're going to have to discuss that at length to make sure that everybody understands where we're coming from. But let's talk to Ben from Salinas. Hi, Ben.
Yes, sir. I'm listening with great interest to your guest there. And what I'm hearing is this. We have this government wanting to take a control over our personal property rights, especially through the IRS, when all they got to do is hit you with that red light and badge and your home ain't your home anymore. And to me, your constitutionally protected civil rights are protected by the Constitution. Blood was spilled for that document and for our rights, and yet the right to be own private property and have civil and constitutional rights seem to me to go hand in hand, thanks to the God that is responsible for all of us even being born. Yet we have a government going on with this war on terror, and if you too vehemently insist on your private property or civil rights, all they have to do is point the finger at you and call you a terrorist, and now you have to come up with the expense and the means to protect yourself.
Yes.
And my question is this, sir. When is America and the world going to stand up and stop what George Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld are doing to our country, our national treasury, and under this homeland Gestapo? When are we going to stop what these cats are doing? It's ungodly, it's inhumane, and it's denying us basic human right to survive without bowing to their fascist intents. And they are fascist. When the corporation marries the government, you have fascism, sir.
That's exactly right, and that's one of my biggest concerns that I'm seeing emerging with the concept of global governance, is this partnership concept between the government and private industry and the so-called people. But the people are always a select group of non-governmental organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fascism.
There is a move in the public sector to being organized to a deeper and deeper level. Tell me if I'm wrong. When I went to school, I was in grade school in the 50s, I guess, late 40s and 50s. That was when my teachers quoted the Proverbs at us and stuff like that. They'd be thrown out on their ear now if they did that, of course. But I was taught that there were two ways you could go about running your life and earning a living. If you elected to join the private sector, all the things of the Constitution were yours. That is, your right to organize, your right to be an entrepreneur, work, however you wanted to do, you could do that. If you joined, on the other hand, the so-called public sector, then there were certain restraints. You were granted certain tenure, if you will, in your job with the government or being a teacher or what, and for that security of environment, you gave up a certain right, that is the right to organize and some other things. Now, that's no longer true, is it? Was I right about that?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. It's now become government is the most cushy, prestigious job that you can have.
And they're organized.
And they're organized, that's right.
The thing that something that irritates me is a year ago or so we saw a union here, the SEIU, which I'm sure is all over the United States now. I don't know, their colors are purple and white or whatever, and they struck, if you will, the government building here in Santa Cruz, and there were hundreds of people wearing their purple t-shirts blocking traffic and everything all over downtown. And what it did for me is it gave me a good idea of how many people are working for the government just here in this little town. And I was incensed at their right to strike for more money when the kind of service that we got would have in many cases, gotten them fired. Now, I don't think the general worker himself is the one who is doing most of this stuff, but it strikes me that there's a whole new ecosystem of people who are bureaucrats running unions who really don't produce anything except discourse and discord. What do you think?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that you'll find if you go back over the last hundred years or so is that the way that this can be done and implemented is by creating disharmony, by creating problems, by actually causing factions to develop, one group against another group. And that's, you know, using the Hegelian dialectic of one against the other is has been the method of which they have been able to make giant steps, gains over the last 50 years especially. And what we're seeing here, of course, is the factionalization of men and women and the middle class versus the lower class and the upper class versus the middle class, you name it. Anything they can do to cause division and strife, they will do it, because it's when you have a disorganization where people are not content for whatever reason that they can make their changes.
The idea of government employees becoming organized and then striking, depriving the taxpayers of their privileges, their rights, if you will, to have their property examined, inspected, okayed, whatever, makes me so angry. And these people are unelected, unaccountable. That just really gets me.
Well, you know, back in Tragedy and Hope, and Carol Quigley, in his book back in 1967, he went to great lengths to describe how the plan was to be able to create the bureaucrat-controlled society. And this is literally what we're seeing. The technocrats, basically, we can't move unless an expert says that we can move. And most times, with these experts coming out of schools today, they don't have a clue as to how the world really works. They're just regurgitating what their professors told them, who in themselves have never had a days of honest work. And as a result, what we're doing is moving away from the self-reliant type of an approach where we're free to make mistakes into a socialist controlled or a society that basically dictates what you can and cannot do through the so-called expert.
And the idea of privately held property is anathema to the entire socialist scheme. We've seen that as a failure in the USSR and Eastern Europe, where all land was owned by the government. And there's something about the human nature, and I believe it's easily described as we look at chapter 17 of Jeremiah in verse 9, where it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, maybe that's not the memory verse for property rights, but nevertheless it has something to do with it, because if stuff is not your own, you really don't care about taking care of it.
That's exactly right. And a lot of us do not recognize, David, that 70% of all small business in the United States are started with an equity loan on your house.
Mm-hmm.
Hernando de Soto, in his book Mystery of Capital, back in the late 1990s, it was published in 2001, did a huge, enormous study looking at why capitalism has failed in the third world nations and the former communist nations. And no matter what he did, what he looked at, it all came down to the bureaucracy of these third world nations, the socialist nature of them. It takes 100 to 200 individual steps to register private property in a lot of these nations. So most people don't even bother. Well, without private property, you do not have equity, and without equity, you cannot build wealth. You just cannot do it. You're under the thumb of the bureaucracy, and that's what's happening to this nation, is that we're seeing happening here in this country with an increasing avalanche of rules and regulations and an ever-expanding bureaucracy. We're moving in the same direction as the third world nations are right now, and that's where we're going to wind up, basically, in par with them. We're never going to bring them up to our level, because wealth creation is based on private property, and without it, you cannot have wealth creation, period. And what you will find is exactly what Rousseau was campaigning about, is that the people who do own property, the wealthy, the elite, and so forth, will gain more and more power and wealth while the middle class disappears.
The idea of controlling growth has its poster child, I guess, in Portland, Oregon, and maybe Santa Cruz, California, I don't know. But Portland has been in this for a while now. What kind of success have they had up there in allowing the bureaucrats and the socialists to run things for a while?
They have basically destroyed the middle class in Portland and in Salem and so forth in Oregon, where they have all these smart growth laws since the late 1970s. It's really tragic, because what's happened now is that the American dream is now gone for the middle class, or the lower class in that particular area. They can no longer afford private housing. They have to live in multi-family dwellings, apartments, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all happened because of smart growth. The American dream is being taken away from the people, and they don't even realize it's happening.
It's so crucial for everybody to understand that comment that you made about small businesses starting by getting a loan on the value of the property that they owned. Without that, you have no recourse. Right now, we're in the throes in my family of trying to find some other property, and with certain limitations, we've found some places, but there is no way that my certain family members can qualify. For example, first of all, they have rules that you cannot co-sign, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it just pretty much is shutting out my particular family member from a hope of private property ownership, and unless we come up with something else.
Yes, it is.
And that's really, really hurting. Now, the Sierra Club published some amazing figures. I thought it was almost funny, where they said they thought that efficient urban density would be 500 housing units to the acre. My wife and I were talking about that this afternoon, because we live on almost an acre where I live. It's a kind of a screwy-shaped acre. It's not a nice square thing where I could grow wheat or anything. But nevertheless, the thought of having 500 units of people, which might be, what, 1,500 people or so?
Yeah, at least.
Living there just boggles the mind. And yet that's a thing that they came up with.
Exactly. They have no concept. The Sierra Club, it doesn't matter if it's in the smart growth or other environmental issues, they don't know what they're talking about. It's what they're talking about was three times the highest density residences in anywhere, including Calcutta, India. The squalor that you find in Calcutta is three times worse than that.
Hmm.
And they just pull these numbers right out of thin air. It's just absurd the way these people think, and yet they have a front row seat in the Congress of the United States.
They have huge amount of money that comes from I don't know where, people who feel sorry for ducks and things, I suppose, and great foundations underwriting them. Just for fun, I looked in the want ads today in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and there it was, as it appears every day just about under Help Wanted, is being activist. Underwritten by the Sierra Club. Call today, you know, get involved, be a part of your nation's liberty, and so forth and so on. Just made my skin crawl.
Yeah, it really is. And I have arrived at the opinion that the environmental lobby is probably the most dangerous entity this country has ever seen. It is bent on the destruction of America as we know it. And it has caused the death of dozens of people in these forest fires. It has caused the burning of millions of acres of our forest. It has resulted in uncounted hardships of tens of thousands of American families, as they have these new regulations imposed on them to make their lifestyles impossible.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing the property value. A lot of these families, you know, they have all of their assets tied up in their farm.
Right.
It's like having, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 or $300,000 in the stock market, all of a sudden it's gone because of the loss of property value due to greenlining and other things of these smart growth crazy ideas.
You cannot build. If anybody thinks they own their house, try not paying your property taxes for a couple of years. That's a confiscatory rate in many respects. There is the idea of taxes, both income, taxes for state and federal. There are taxes on everything that you buy. We're running this entire huge government, this $87 billion that's going to Iraq, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that is sucking the very life out of the small business person, the person who has a very small amount of property. But there is some place, ladies and gentlemen, for you to go. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Michael Kaufman about something called Learn USA as we come back from this next break. But Right now, I'd like to remind you that to get a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet, all you have to do is call 800-544-8927. And if you do that, we'll send you out a copy of all this stuff, free and postpaid. It's about 80 pages long now, and it has all you ever wanted to know and more, probably, about what's going on at Radio Liberty. It tells you about how you can become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It gives you the titles and authors of all of the different books and videotapes and audio tapes that you can get to help you understand what's really going on in the world today. It's an important catalog of stuff that you need to have handy. 800-544-8927 is the number to call. We're not going to put you on any kind of a mailing list. We're not going to fill up your mailbox or your email address or anything else. We're just going to send you this one simple thing, and then you take it from there. 800-544-8927. And we'll be right back.
This is a fascinating four tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
In the last few minutes of this week's programming, I'd like to talk with Dr. Michael Kaufman about a new project, which I think is very, very important, because so often, Michael, we're challenged with all this stuff, but we really don't have a way to do it. And I believe that as you put together this new website, learnusa.org, you're trying to, and doing a good job, by the way, of equipping people with tools they can use to change what's going on.
Yes, that's what our hope is. It's turning out to be a very, very powerful program. It doesn't work for everyone in America, because you need to have a local government that understands basically the ability to create wealth is at the local level. And you know, in Santa Cruz, you just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Los Angeles, you just don't have it. And in many of the bigger cities, the local government is as corrupt as the federal government, and they basically believe that they're just an arm of the federal government. But if you have local governments in rural America or even in urban America that want to get back to a basic concept of a constitutional form of government, then you need to go to the learn-usa.org website. That's our latest project. And just take a look at it, because where it has been applied in about 23 different areas now in the United States, it has been dynamic in stopping state and federal intrusion on local control. It has been literally a lifesaver to thousands and thousands of families that are dependent upon the land or their ability for their own self-destiny to be able to control their lives and to create the kind of wealth that's necessary, while at the same time protecting the environment. This is what this is exciting about this particular program.
Mm-hmm.
It literally will help us to protect the environment, as we should, because we need to be good stewards, while at the same time protecting our economy, our custom, and our culture of the local area.
The good ideas that began the environmental movement, I suppose, were okay. We're, like you say, we're called to be good stewards of what we have, and with our own personal property, if we are a good steward of that property, we're not going to want to destroy everything. And the only thing that law really needs to do is prevent some unscrupulous person from dumping waste on another's property or somehow destroying other people's private property. But we've moved way beyond that now, in that there are confiscatory tax rates and unaccountable bureaucrats running things for us, and you can't even build a house without a lot of work and expense, both legally and governmentally. So learn is good. Now, did this come out of the idea that those farmers up in Northern California, Southern Oregon?
No, actually, it started about 15 years ago, Dave. I didn't have anything to do with it back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
It was an attorney that someone mentioned this, actually got a vision from God, to be honest with you, and told her about it, and she started looking into it, and she was working for the Reagan administration at the time, and as soon as she left, she began to apply it, and it's really gotten to be a major effort on the part of local governments, especially in the western United States, where it's been under such strong attack.
Well, it certainly was an interesting read for me this morning. That website, again, ladies and gentlemen, is learn-usa.org. And if you want some information about it, if you don't have computer access, you can call 207-947-7931 during normal business hours. If you want to find out about personal property rights and an effective way that you can get involved in at the local level, it's 207-947-7931, and that's learn-usa.org to find out more about that. I would suggest that you take a look at it, particularly if you're interested in private property rights and what's truly going on in the world today. Well, you know, Michael, we're coming to the end of the show, and it's always great for me to be able to talk to you, because in every word that you use, there's always a spiritual dimension. And I'm so glad to see that, because often we get off and we're so absorbed into the, if you will, hate government thing or whatever, that we lose track of the fact that God is sovereign and he's in control. How about giving us 30 seconds of what we ought to be doing and how we need to look towards the future with hope?
Well, you know, I think the thing that I'll wind up with is what I often do with Stan on this program, is that we need to be on our knees. Because, as Stan and I have said many, many times, the battle really isn't against the government. It's against the principalities and powers
mm-hmm.
of this world. And that's where the true battle lies. If we can begin to push back the frontiers of this evil, we can begin to turn around what is happening in the real world that we can actually see. And that's where the real battle is, and that's where it needs to be fought.
Amen to that. God is sovereign. He's in control. And prayerfully, you and I will be talking again sometime as the Lord tarries. Thanks again, Mike. Appreciate it.
You bet, Dave.
Good night now. Dr. Michael Kaufman, once again, let me give you that 800 number, 800-799-9878, to order a copy of Iraq to Ezekiel, that sort of prognostication that he put together last year, and now seeing a lot of those things coming true. 800-799-9878. Please continue to pray for Dr. Stan and me and all of those people who work so hard to get this kind of programming together. We appreciate your input. We appreciate your prayer support. We appreciate the fact that many of you, hundreds of you, are deciding to become members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Call 800-544-8927. If you decided to do that over the course of this program, remember to keep on praying for our nation, for her leadership, and for our turnaround in terms of revival. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. Give that some thought, won't you? Until next time, then, I'm Dave Wilson saying good night. America,